God has a wonderfully encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton in these next moments. This is The Encouraging Word featuring Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and pastor. And today, as we dive into one thing, that's right, just one thing from God's Word, you're going to see how it applies to everything as we live our lives for Jesus. As we study God's Word together, know that we're here for you. Already, friends are connecting on our website at theencouragingword.org. Every morning, Dr. Don sends out a blessing that is, we call the Daily Encouraging Word email. It's a bit of God's Word, a word from Dr. Don, and an encouragement you can apply throughout the day. Sign up for it online at theencouragingword.org or just text the word daily to 30500. Text daily to 30500 or see us online at theencouragingword.org. Now it's time for Dr. Don Wilton.
Join me as we pray together this morning. Our Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to come together like this. We're just mindful that all across our nation and around the world, there are people just like ourselves who are meeting to worship you. There are preachers preaching and teachers teaching, choirs singing, orchestras playing, people gathering. And Lord, we're just going to ask you today for those of us who worship you at this moment, whether we are here in the United States, whether we're in a uniform serving our country in a faraway land, whether we're one of our gallant missionary couples and individuals deployed in places overseas listening right now, we're praying that, Lord Jesus, you would speak to our hearts. We really want to hear from you. We want to hear from you, Lord Jesus. So bless us today. Bless everybody here today. Take your word. We know that your word will not return void. And Father, we pray that if there's anyone today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, that right now they would say yes to you. Trust you as Savior and Lord. Now, in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. We're at the final point of this series, Living to the Power of Ten. God has been speaking to us. That's very evident. He's spoken to my heart. And I know that he's been speaking to your heart. And a lot of people have come to know Christ, and even more are searching, wanting to know, listening, asking more questions, and finding out the truth of God's word through his word. And when we, in the Ten Commandments, come to the tenth commandment, God does something. And this is what he says. And you'll find it in Exodus chapter 20. Now I want you to turn there with me in your Bibles. This is what he says. It's a staggering statement, considering where you and I find ourselves today. We are surrounded by things. My dear friends, today I have to say this to you. I'm praying for you because so many of us are in chains because of the materialistic world in which we live, the things of this world. There are so many of us today. Your whole life has become skewed because of things. I've entitled this final message, One Thing. What is that one thing? Listen to what God's Word says, verse 17 of Exodus 20. I'm going to read a few extra verses. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Look at verse 18. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid. And they trembled, they stood afar off. They said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you." Key word here. God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. So the people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked to you from heaven." Paul, writing later on to the church at Rome, this is what he said. Romans chapter 7. "What shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" Now, when we look at this series, there are a couple of things that I think we can conclude. And I just place these on the table. Here's God up on the mountain speaking from heaven to God's people. God is speaking to us today. A lot of things took place. Number one, God spoke. Number two, the people trembled. That verse 18 there just jumps out at me. The people trembled. You and I have got every reason to tremble when God speaks. And the problem in America today is fewer and fewer people are trembling when God speaks. It's like it doesn't matter. So Moses mediated. It's a very interesting statement. Yeah, Moses mediated. The word there means that Moses represented God to the people. And the bar was raised. God made these commandments. He issued these statements to the people who were down in the valley, who were going through life, who were about to embark on a very perilous journey, just like you and me. The bar was raised, and it very quickly became evident that the people failed, just like you and me. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, you're a failure. I'm a failure when it comes to God's standards. I'm about to show you something very, very wonderful. And when the people failed, Jesus came. We couldn't have a better launch pad than moving out of the commandments of God, these law-giving commandments, where the Bible says that Moses mediated. Moses tried to transact an agreement between the people and God, and it didn't work. The rest of the story is the story of the failure of man to live up to the power of 10. Then Jesus came, and Jesus came as the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Not to replace the law, not to declare this injunction irrelevant, but to fulfill it, to show us how it works. This is what the grace of God is. That word grace there is a wonderful word because it's God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve that. You and I don't deserve that God would show us such failure. Here we are, we tremble before him. We don't listen to him properly. We fail time without number and we sin grievously. And yet Jesus came to die on a cross to set us free. My prayer for you today is that you've given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Forgive the interruption. As we gain clarity, that concept of coveting is not dissatisfaction, we'll see that clarity come to life in even greater ways as we study God's Word together with Dr. Don. You're listening to the Encouraging Word broadcast, and each and every day it's our joy to share these teachings from Dr. Don with you and begin a conversation. It's the first volley, so to speak, as we converse together about God's Word and how it is a fuel to the way we live our lives. Spending time in God's Word every single day is mission critical for us at the ministry, and so therefore we're very busy making opportunities for you to do the same thing. One of those is the Daily Encouraging Word. I mentioned it at the beginning of the broadcast, but didn't have time to tell you all the details. This special email, absolutely free, of course, and there's even a hard copy for those of you that like to have it over your visor and carpool line or wherever you'd like to stick into your Bible. If you want a real copy, a physical copy, just write to us at the Encouraging Word, Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, or go to our website, theencouragingword.org. That's probably the easiest way. You can even call us at 866-899-9673 and ask for your copy. Or if you'd like, and if you'd love to text for just a second, it won't take but a moment, to text the word DAILY to 30500. All of this about getting God's Word in our email box every single day, and let it be an encouragement to you. Again, just text the word DAILY to 30500, and we'll send you a quick link. You'll sign up, and you'll be receiving those emails from Dr. Don every day. Or if you'd like that physical copy, call us at 866-899-9673. It's absolutely free. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
And so it is that God issues this command, thou shalt not covet. That's a very interesting word. It sends shockwaves through our world. I want to unpack what this means here. So let me just simply, if I may, tell you what coveting is not. Can we kind of start outside in the backyard and come through the back door? Let me just tell you in my study what coveting is not. Coveting is not ambition. Ambition is a very good thing. Right throughout Scripture, God encourages us to be ambitious in Him. That word ambition means that you have a strong, deep desire to accomplish great things. I want to say to all our young people, cultivate your ambition. Coveting is not hard work. Jolly hard work. That's not coveting. Rolling up your sleeves, doing your absolute best, striving to be the best, to accomplish, to gain. That's not what coveting. That's not what he's talking about. Coveting is not incentive. I think incentive. Incentive is a goal that you and I set before ourselves as believers in order to accomplish great things. That's not what God was talking about. He wasn't trying to say have no incentive. Coveting is not need. We all have needs. You have needs. Just think about some of the needs that we might have. The need to have a lovely home, and the need to drive a nice motor car, and the need to have good clothes. And there's nothing wrong with those. He's not saying, when he said thou shalt not covet, he wasn't talking about needs, not even for 1 minute. God was not talking about admiration. Coveting's not about admiration. I can admire things. There are things that I love. We could think of 100 different things. Whenever I get an opportunity to go down to the coast, one of the things that I love to do is to go into a yacht basin. I love just walking around, looking at beautiful boats. Nothing wrong with it. Oh, wow, look at that. Coveting is not enjoyment. You can enjoy good things. God's given us all things to enjoy. Don't confuse the issue here. When he said, thou shalt not covet, he wasn't saying, don't enjoy what you've got. By the way, folks, I'm going to say this. If God has blessed you with means, you don't need to walk around with a guilt complex because you've got a lot. God's given you a lot. That's a blessing. What's wrong with that? Enjoy it. It's not we get everything in our world backwards and upside down. God does it. Coveting's not having plenty or having a good bank balance or having a nice home. All these things that go on. Coveting is not about participation. You can participate in great things. It's not coveting. I participate. I want to participate. lot of things. That's not coveting. Coveting is not dissatisfaction. By the way, that's a very key thing. Coveting is not dissatisfaction. I hope that you are very dissatisfied in a spiritual sense with where you are. Can I put it like this, maybe? I don't ever want to get to the point in my life where I am satisfied with where I am. I always, in a spiritual sense, but in a real sense, I always want to be dissatisfied. I always want to accomplish greater goals. I want to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to provide more for my family. I want to be dissatisfied. Coveting is not dissatisfaction in the sense that you ought not to keep on striving to be better and to accomplish more. It's very interesting. The word in the Hebrew text is the word kawmad, K-A-W-M-A-D, kawmad, okay? It's a very interesting fusion, this word in the Hebrew text. And it literally means that coveting is an unhealthy desire to have something, no matter what the cost, that belongs to somebody else. That's why he lists. He puts down some things here, and he talks about from farming to agriculture to your neighbor's wife to your possessions. He talks about it. And God outlines these things. The Bible is so filled with passages. Timothy put it like this. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these things we ought to be content. And the word here in the Hebrew text, really, I know this is going to shock some of you, the proper translation of the word covet, the unhealthy desire to have something that is not yours, is the word lust, to lust after something. The word lust there carries it carries with it a very unhealthy, insatiable desire to take hold of and to possess and to have something that you don't have that somebody else has. That's where greed comes from, and stealing. And one could go on and on and on down the road. I mean, the Bible outlines so many of these things. In Luke's gospel, Jesus said this in chapter 12, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. What was he talking about? So here we are, God is saying to us, don't covet. One thing, you and I find ourselves all the time saying, if we could just have one more thing, just one more. If I could just have one more. And what God is trying to say to us here is he's saying you need to be set free from this insatiable lust that you have in your heart to accumulate and to have what everybody else has. And we are being bombarded. Everybody looks at the television screen. That's why these shows are so popular, and I'm not criticizing all these. Reality shows today are the order of the day, aren't they? It satisfies something within us, but it leaves us unsatisfied. We want to look like somebody else. There are models of excellence, and so we become absolutely crazy about it. If you take something like health, there are some people who go absolutely ballistic over an insatiable desire, a lust to have sculptured bodies. Now, I know there are just hundreds of men looking at me right now saying, if I could just have a body like Don, I'd be made. I know that. And what God is saying is, be satisfied with who you are. But that being satisfied with who you are does not in and of itself say, well, you know what? This is just the way I've made. You know, when God made me, I just have a propensity to put on weight and to get out of shape and to be unhealthy. Therefore, God made me that way. Therefore, I don't care. That's equally sinful in God's sight. So God's not saying, take care of yourself. He's saying, do something about it. Take care of yourself. But don't develop an insatiable, unhealthy desire to do something that somebody else has done or that somebody else has, and step outside of the parameters that God has made you to be. So here's how I want to present this to you today. If that being the case, thou shalt not covet. God looking down upon the people, he's looking at us down in our cities and in our homes. And you know, I often wonder to myself, I wonder what it is that God sees when he looks at us today. Now folks, I know this is a tough statement to say. We are so materialistic in our world today. Materialism is not doing us well in America. If you want to know and see how much we have, just get on a plane and go and do a mission trip to some other parts of the world. You know, go to Haiti, go to India, go to Africa. But you don't even have to do that. You can go into the neighborhoods of almost every city in America and you'll discover right away when it comes to people who have less than you have. And we live in a world today that we are so driven by the homes and the cars and the things. That's why we're so deeply in debt. We just can't stop ourselves. If I was to do a survey here today, which obviously I'm not going to do, I think it may surprise us how many people right now, listening right now, are seriously in debt. Your in is exceeding your out, and your out's exceeding your in. You're spending so much more than what you take in. And the reason you're doing that, and if the reason is that you're doing that, is that all you're doing it for is in order to have, you need to ask yourself this question about coveting. So what does the 10th commandment do for us? Why would God have said, you must not covet? Don't lust after. Don't try to possess things that don't belong to you, that are not part of God's plan for you. Why be content with where you are and who you are? This is why. This is what the 10th commandment does for us. Number one, it warns us. God's issuing a warning. It's a very severe warning. And God does that. He warns us. Just like parents would turn to a child and say to a child, listen, see that fire over there? Don't stick your hand in that fire, because if you do, it's going to hurt you. God loves us. He loves you. He's warning us. He's saying, don't fall into the trap of covetousness. Number two, it equalizes us. It equalizes us. This 10th commandment equalizes us. It puts us all not on the same level economically. It doesn't put us all equal on the same level materially. What it does, it equalizes us in terms of how God sees us equally. God loves us. God loves you. The Lord loves you.
Forgive the interruption. We do have another moment with Dr. Don coming up in just 1 minute. But I want to let you know that when Dr. Don speaks, perhaps it happens in your life sometimes, it happens in my life many times, I don't just hear the voice of our pastor, Dr. Don, but I hear God challenging me. So when Dr. Don said that God would command us not to covet, not to lust after it, is there something that the Lord brought to mind that you know you need to deal with? You know, often Dr. Don says when those thoughts come to our mind, usually they're either a temptation from the enemy or an inspiration from the Lord. And we have to discern between those. And if the Lord has used the Word of God through His servant, Dr. Don Wilton, today to quicken your heart about something that needs to change, something you need to turn your back on, here's a great truth. When two or more are gathered together, the Lord is there with us. As we pray together and create that cord of multiple strands of prayer partner and support, we can see God work in remarkable ways. So let us partner with you in prayer. You can call us right now, and we'd love to talk with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. We would love to pray with you. Now those closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today. And forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives to download Dr. Wilton's sermons or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
Hello, my friends. I want to just personally speak to you for a minute today from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a great day today. I don't think that there's ever been a more better or perhaps important time for us to respond to this world by standing up for righteousness. I know that you'll agree with me. In fact, with this in mind, I'd like to invite you to become an Encourager Ministry partner with me. Together we can impact lives both now and for all eternity. The Daily Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please, let me ask you to call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and say, I want to become an encourager. Thanks so much for helping me.